Isn't that good news? They never slumber nor sleep. So if the angel's watching over you, they're always watching over you. So there's always angels watching. Even when you sleep, watching. Praise the Lord. We're glad that God has watched over us, blessed us with the presence of mind to come together that we might serve Him, worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's why we're here. Is that correct? Amen. This privilege is worth more than silver and gold. And to be a member of the Lord's church, there is nothing on planet Earth that is more valuable to humanity than the privilege of being a son or daughter of God. The sad part about it, countless millions are not being told how to become a son or daughter of God. And you can witness that. You can witness that for yourself. Kinfolk, relatives, folk you meet, ask them. Ask the question, simple question. Have you given your life to God? Are you a child of God? Or are you a Christian? However you want to phrase it. Are you a Christian? 99.9% of the time, you will not get a biblical answer. You will get answers like, I gave my life to the Lord. I asked Him to forgive me of all my sins. Well, I prayed. I went to church. Where do you read that in the Bible? That Jesus says, this is the way I save you. Now, if you can't read it, why would you have confidence? Why would you believe that you are already saved if you haven't read in the Bible where God, Jesus Christ, saved or saves people that way? When you look at the sequence of events, the Father loved humans so much that when we all disobeyed Him, Adam and Eve, He did not destroy us, but He provided a way for us to have a relationship with Him. Even to the extent of sending His Son, His only begotten Son, to planet Earth. Jesus stayed on a planet Earth for 33 years. At the age of 30, He became an itinerant preacher. That means a traveling preacher, teacher. He chose 12 men, handpicked by Him, to follow Him, to teach them, to train them, because He knew that He was not going to stay on planet Earth very longer. And for those of you who read the Bible, He stayed 3 years teaching, training, traveling. 12 men to carry His word when He left planet Earth. And He shared with them before He left. In your Bible in Acts chapter 1, I don't want you to go anywhere doing any preaching. When I leave, until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Go to Jerusalem and wait there. My Father will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It will guide you into all truth. It will bring to your He will bring to your remembrance everything that I have taught you. So don't go preaching anywhere until my Father baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. That's in your Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 1. And after giving them this message, they begin to see him as he began to rise, and they looked till he was out of their sight, going on back to glory. They followed his instructions. They went to Jerusalem. That's in your Bible in Acts chapter 1. They went to Jerusalem and went to a house that had at least two stories. And there were a number of people already there. So the apostles waited. And while they waited, they chose another man to take Judas's place, who was an apostle chosen by Jesus but betrayed him. So now they have 12 apostles now. In about 10 days, your Bible says that the apostles were baptized. Chapter 1 flows into chapter 2. And they began to speak in different languages. All the apostles were able to preach in different languages. And they began to preach the word. And if you have your Bible, you can follow me in your Bible, chapter 2. They began to speak with other words, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the crowd that was in Jerusalem celebrating came together. Their audience, first time around, was in the thousands. And the Holy Spirit carried to every ear on that day. Jesus had made Peter the promise that he would preach the first gospel sermon on planet Earth. When they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, as I've said heretofore, they all started preaching. But when you look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter becomes the chief speaker. Peter preached to that motley crowd. And some of them were saying, "These men are drunk. They're full of new wine." Peter says, "No, that's not the case. It's too early for that. Places that sell wine, not open yet." But he began with verse 15 and continued to preach to that motley crowd. That is, folks from everywhere. And he comes to a point in his message. He says to the crowd, he says, "That man that you crucified 50 days ago, that was the Jesus that you and your foreparents was looking for. It was he that you all put on the cross 50 days ago." Your Bible says that the crowd was shocked. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. The next verse, Peter answers their question. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And he continued to speak, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward or this wicked generation. Ah, then they. Watch that now. Watch the language. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Even when the gospel is preached by an apostle, by the power of the Holy Spirit, everybody not going to obey it. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Lord saved them and added them to their number, the first church of Christ. The first church of Christ on planet Earth. Preaching the gospel. When you preach the gospel, the only church that the gospel that the gospel from heaven establishes is a church of Christ. Your Bible says in the book of Romans, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Prayer is not a privilege for those who are not already Christians. That's a privilege that people who are already Christians, based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and been added, like these people were, to the church of Christ, you are yet unsaved. You are yet not a child of God. But I know who talking to me. I know he's a good. You go by what the Bible says. You don't go by what I say or any other man says, unless he can give you book, chapter, and verse. Please, instead of getting angry, get busy studying the Bible. Because getting angry and disobeying what God has said and going into the judgment based upon Revelation chapter 20, there's going to be a judgment day. And God keeps a record on each and every human being. And all of us who are human beings, our book that God is keeping on each of us is going to be open at the judgment. And we're going to be judged out of those things which are written in the book. Jesus, but after his resurrection, he met with his apostles. And he said, you did bring your Bibles, correct? Yes. You did bring your Bibles. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. My lesson was going to be a short, and will be a relatively short home and heaven. But what did I ask you to go? Matthew 28. Let me go over there with you. Matthew chapter 28. You see, I want you to check behind me and all preachers. If you can't read it, don't believe it. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus meets with his apostles after his resurrection. I'm in Mark. There we go, Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Now I know maybe most of you already heard this, but be patient with me and let us hear it again. And Jesus came, starting with verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then continue to teach them to observe what? All things whatsoever I have commanded you. If Jesus has not commanded it, don't you do it. If Jesus have not commanded it, both he and his apostles, don't believe it, don't obey it. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Make sure you teach whatsoever I have commanded. No apostle was ever taught by Jesus, his Father, or the Holy Spirit to tell folk, if you want to be saved, say a prayer. We're going to pray for you. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Don't go by what you feel. Go by what you can read. And the only who you are concerned with is what thus saith the Lord. In Acts chapter 2. What are the apostles to preach? Only what Jesus has commanded. Going back to Acts chapter 2. Commission with verse 36, you know it from memory, but let your eyes look upon it. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when the crowd, when they heard this, they were pricked or shocked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, now that's a good time to just tell them to pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins. Prayer is not mentioned because they're sinners. They're not sons and daughters of God. Prayer is the privilege of those who are God's sons and daughters. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And with many other words, and he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this wicked generation. Then they, not everyone, therefore, I shouldn't get excited if when I preach the same truth, everyone don't obey it. Peace, all is well. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at the last verse, 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, you don't even join the church. The Lord adds you to his church when you follow his instructions. Good men, many cases, but carrying the wrong message. Now, the message I have on paper is entitled Home and Heaven. Just a few notes. The only heaven some people will ever know is their own home. And that's what they'll call it. Their own home on heaven. You've often heard the expression heaven on earth in reference to home. It's a heaven on earth. Home has the capability of being the finest experience that some people will ever have. Writers have talked about it in song titles. Oh, they tell me of a home far away, beyond the sky, and this world is not my home, and also like the beautiful songs we heard this morning. The relationship between man, heaven, and home is not an accident. This is another example of God's planning and God's way of introducing a common vocabulary between home, church, and heaven. Your Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and what? And to be present with the Lord. Absent from the body. No. Did you get that? Absent from the body. So then we are more than dust from the ground. That's the form in which we live. You know the story. You read the book of Genesis. Well, at least chapter 1 and chapter 2. The form is what you're looking at. The form is what I'm looking at. Then the body was that God formed. He put life in it. He breathed into our bodies. Life. So life came out from God. So that means what? What does that mean? That means that life will always exist because it came out from God. So our life will always exist somewhere. I am willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So we don't cease to exist. We don't go into nothing. John chapter 14 and verse 2, we read of the house with many mansions. In my Father's house. Aren't you glad? In my Father's house are many mansions. That's where you live. That's where we want to go. If it were not so, I would not have said it was so. Jesus talking, I go to prepare a place for you. You wouldn't mind living in a place that Jesus has prepared. You wouldn't mind that, would you? Praise God. There are just a few scripture references which indicate that heaven is a home. Our divine heavenly Father knows what goes on in every home. Yes, sir. Mine, yours, everybody else's. The hand of God operates every time a child is born into a home, regardless of what kind of home it is. From this we see what? The grace of God's extended mercy. A Christian home could well be called the womb. W-O-M-B, the womb of God, because from this Christian home, comes boys and girls trained and prepared for entrance into the Christian life and living a life that pleases God and one day live forever with our Heavenly Father. Oh, church, how wonderful can it get? Homes, no matter what condition it's in tonight. Didn't preach that long. Today, watch it. Home can be wonderful. It doesn't matter how it's going on now. It can be wonderful. What needs to change? The two people, mom and the daddy, if that's the case. No father can contemplate the joys of his home as he plays with his children and observe the important role that he has, the important role of his companion, his wife, without being challenged to do better. Let me run that by you again. No father can contemplate the joy of his home as he plays with his children and observes the important role of his wife without being challenged to be a better man. The same is true of the mother. There is no organization or institution on earth so favorably equipped as a home to provide one with security, comfort, rest. One would be able to get peace, understanding, and love when they come from no place or anybody else. You can find somebody at home that loves me. And it's wonderful when husbands and wives are working together to train up the children in the nurture and the admonition of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Lord's church should be an important factor in the training of the husband and wife and of the children. Jesus enjoyed going to the home of Mary and Martha and their brother. A Christian home is a joy. It's wonderful. And it's pleasing in the sight of God, where godly tenderness in the home. Won't agree with everything, but we can disagree. How? Agreeably. We don't have to shout unless the person is deaf or half deaf. Some homes, unfortunately, are so strife-torn that even a visitor is mailed to be able to feel the tension. No one would have to tell him or her, this family is having some strong problems. Our homes compare in no measure with heaven itself, but our home should be a prelude to heaven. Because our home should make us contemplate heaven. But if there's always turmoil, it will make you contemplate that other place. The people of God, to the people of God, heaven is life filled with pleasures and happiness. We recognize there is something that God has. When we have happy homes, we know that God can do better than we can, so that we know that we are going to be going to a happier home. And we look forward to that. Oh, church. Others may look forward to that heavenly home when they will be rid of that unchristlike wife or heaven or husband. Amen. The Christian knows that there is nothing on earth that can really be compared to that eternal home of the saved. But the Christian also understands it can be better than it is if it's turmoil. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. One day, we're going to leave this earthly home. This is our preparation room on earth. This is our preparation room for going into eternity. So since we're going to live forever, why not live a joyous life here by obeying the will of God and then die, come into the judgment, and hear the Father say, what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. In Revelation chapter 20. At the final roundup of human affairs. I have some more on here. I didn't finish verse 2 and 3 and 4. Peace. Revelation chapter 20. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Verse 13. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, saying, sharing with us, every person. And whosoever Wait a minute, I'm skipping something. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now, we can try to boss each other on earth, but there won't be no bossing by human beings on judgment day. We can get upset, may even get upset with me, and I'm not even in your home. Yeah, but you're preaching what I don't want to hear. I thought you came to church to hear what's in the Bible. Peace. And death and hell shall cast into the lake. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is called the second death. And whosoever was not found. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. What happened? Cast into the lake of fire. Cast into the lake of fire. And there is nothing that anyone else can do about it. What does that tell us? That tells us that my eternal destiny is based upon how I live my life on planet Earth. Whether I live according to the will of God or whether I live according to what Joseph H. Brown wants to do. Getting upset with somebody, that doesn't stop. That doesn't deter the fact that this is what the Bible says, even if it comes from me. And I, verse 21, you can smile. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's the good news. Don't talk about that heavenly place where we all say we want to go. God, carefully, God sent for us the best that he had. We on the same page? God gave us the best that he had. That reflects within itself how much God loves us, knowing what it's going to cost, my beloved son, to live on planet Earth with all kind of folks and to die a cruel death on Calvary. That's the price that Jesus paid for his church. Not a church, his church. That's the price that he paid. How and why do you think that his father is going to save other folks who are not in his son's church? Please, study the Bible, so that you will know what thus saith the word of God. Your Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Not 2, 2, 2, 2. 1, 1, 1. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And Paul refers in Romans chapter 16 to the churches in different cities during his lifetime on planet Earth. Prayer is not a privilege for those who are not God's children. Prayer has nothing to do with becoming a child of God. It's not a privilege. I think John 9:31, God did not hear sinner's prayer. We know that God does not hear sinner's prayer. I want it. You say, why you keep going over this? Because God keeps a record on all of us. Even me. So I want it on my record that I preached his word. Yes, sir. Not what I felt like, not what I thought, but I preached his word and endeavored to do the same, live his word. Make your calling and election sure. I went to visit at a hospital the other day, and there was a worker that will park your car for you. And I had to walk right by that worker to get to the door to go inside the hospital. I gave a card to that worker, 3D card. I asked the question, are you saved? What did you do for God to save you? And who did God save that way? I said, when I come back, you can give me an answer. I went in and visited, came back. And I came back, spoke a few minutes. No biblical answer. No biblical answer. And this person believed that they were saved. I said, you don't find it in the Bible. Aren't you concerned about that? Be that as it may. Be sure. Be sure that you are saved and you have been added. You see, because when God saves you, he adds you to a spiritual body, the church of Christ. That's in your Bible. We read it this morning, Acts chapter 2. What must I do to be saved according to the scriptures? Do what the people did on the day of Pentecost that we read this morning. You must hear the gospel as it's in the Bible, as it's written in the Bible. You must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as a result of believing it, you're godly sorrowful for your sinful life that you've lived. That's called repentance. You must acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be buried in water baptism for the remission of every sin that you have ever committed. And you know what God does? Jesus does? They add you to it. You're added. You don't join the church. You're added to the church of Christ. You don't join your family when you're good, having a baby. Well, my baby joined me last week, 2 o'clock in the morning. No, baby was added to the family. God adds you to, Jesus adds you to the church of Christ. That's the only church that I read about that Jesus adds human beings to, that hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. You're here. You know whether or not you can read about your Bible, in your Bible, that you're saved. You whether or not know whether or not you did what the Bible says do. And you know that you added to the church. Now, I have endeavored to preach to you the Word of God. Now, don't misguide. Don't misguide your upsetness or your anger. Make sure you put it in the right place. We read together today, right? So if you're upset, don't get upset with me. Shake my hand, smile. Peace. All is well. It's serious business. But the choice is yours. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. If you're here, you've already done that, but you have not been diligent. You have not been a committed, diligent child of God in living the life that he would have you to live, and also in worshiping him and in fellowship with other members of his family, in worship and in Bible class. God doesn't take second place. He does not take second best. When we needed a sacrifice, God sent his son. He didn't send an angel. He sent his son, his only begotten son, for our benefit. He gave us his best. He expects the same from us. Best. Not excuses. Performance. I want us to all go to heaven. So when we get together up there, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. Because every day is today. Isn't that wonderful? Every day is today up there. And we will be able to rejoice and enjoy our Heavenly Father, the host of heaven, and one another forever. No sickness, no arthritis, no heart trouble, no pain. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. It's worth it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And if you're here, you're already a member of the Lord's church, we see you in the Sunday morning, you disappear on Sunday night. And you can't be found on Tuesday night when we have Bible class. I want to be saved. And I want you to be saved. And God wants you to be saved most of all. The decision is yours. And yes, we have the baptismal garments. We have the baptismal water. We're already ready. Right through that door. Right through that door. Male and female. But the choice has to come from you. May God bless you to make a God-honoring decision as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
Yes, there is.
Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
For those of you who are here, members of the body of Christ, think. Am I supportive to the Lord's church? Do I put his business first? Do I worship him with my brothers and sisters on a regular basis? And in Bible class, think. God does not take, as we said heretofore, second best. He is our example. He gave us the best that he had. He expects the same thing from us. Hitting and missing because of something that I want to do. Put God first. He will put you where you let him put you. He will put me where I let him put me. So I can decide I'm going to be committed, dedicated, or I can decide when I feel like it, when I'm up to it, whether there's something else I want to do. Think. Am I upset with you? No. I just want to go to heaven. And to be his preacher, I must preach his gospel lovingly and explicitly. Make your choice. Make your choice. I'm going to be fearful of these people. I don't want to do that all in front of all these people. Or I'm going to put God first and live with the consequences, if there be any. Make up your mind to put God first. And don't put it off. Do it now. Because the only time you are guaranteed is now. One more verse.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood.
Power in the blood.
Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious.